Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois. For over 96 years, generations of farmers have turned to Farm Credit for their financial needs. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit offers products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. Tyson Foods says that it plans to sell its poultry businesses in Mexico and Brazil. The transaction is valued at $575 million and will be paid in cash. Tyson Foods officials currently expect the sale, which is subject to regulatory approval, to be completed by the end of 2014. JBS and Pilgrim's Pride currently expect to maintain all of the operations working to capacity with the existing workforce and to maintain all labor contracts in both countries. The Mexican business is a vertically integrated poultry business. It has three plants and employs more than 5,400 team members in its offices and seven distribution centers. The acquisition of Tyson's Brazil operations involves three fully integrated production plants. This morning, private exporters reported to USDA export sales of 101,000 metric tons of wheat for delivery to Nigeria during the 14 and 15 marketing year. Also flying out the door this morning is 486,000 tons of soybeans, that going to China in 14-15. And of that total, 66,000 metric tons is option origin. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is trading 16,875. It's down 16 points. The NASDAQ is trading at 39.55, and it is down one half of a point. And the S&P 500 is 19.70, and it is down three quarters of a point. Joining us now with a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Today's Midwest weather continues to look quite favorable for the most part. We are still not seeing a tremendous amount of rainfall, however, in the western Corn Belt, and that will continue to be a concern as we move through the month of August, at least as long as that remains to be the case. The ground is firming up, and the cool weather is masking the problem out there, and some would call this a sleeping dog because of the potential that all it would take would be for a few days of dry and warm weather to occur across the region, and crop stress could be accelerated in a more significant manner. Over the weekend, of course, it got into the 90s and over 100 degrees in portions of Kansas and Nebraska and parts of Missouri. Southern Illinois got into the 90s as well. And that kind of heat would be the kind that I would be most concerned with if we were to get into a pattern that would prevail across the western Corn Belt for any length of time. That kind of warmth would likely accelerate crop stress, especially if there was a prolonged period without rainfall. The forecast for this week is really rather benign. Not much in the way of significant precipitation will occur in the western Corn Belt in particular. A few hundredths of an inch, upwards to a quarter of an inch of rain may occur from some shower activity, but we're not expecting the rains to be meaningful. In fact, there may be an isolated half-inch amount in a few locations, but most areas in the west will likely see a steady rate of net drying. Temperatures will be mild there this week, with a lot of temperatures running in the upper 70s and 80s. And that will help to conserve the moisture that is in the soil and reduce some of the potential for stress across parts of the region. In contrast, the eastern Midwest has done a little bit better with rainfall at times in recent weeks. The weekend precipitation from central and southern Illinois into parts of Kentucky was certainly significant. Some areas in central and eastern Kentucky reporting 1 to 3 in localized greater amounts of rainfall. Some areas in Ohio and Indiana also did well with precipitation, but it was not evenly distributed, and many areas that were not included in the precipitation did experience a net drying bias. The temperatures in the eastern Midwest, though, are also expected to remain rather mild to cool for the next full week to maybe 8 or 9 days. that situation will conserve the moisture situation, and for those areas that have not seen much precipitation, subsoil moisture is still favorable in the eastern Midwest, so crops should carry on normally even without the precipitation at times this week. Now, we are expecting to see more rain in the eastern Midwest than in the western Corn Belt. Most of the eastern areas will probably see anywhere from a couple tenths to three quarters of an inch of rainfall during the week, with some localized amounts getting into the 1 to 1.5 inch range. The rains will be greatest in parts of Ohio, parts of Michigan, and parts of Indiana. We will expect to see the overall bottom line for the eastern Midwest to remain mostly ideal. We're not expecting enough dryness or heat to occur across the region to really change the bottom line for crops in that region, and so the environment will still be very good for crop development. The only concern would be maybe we need to have a little bit warmer weather in order to induce the best soybean development potential. At the moment, there's no ridge of high pressure threatening any part of the U.S. Midwest, and so we will expect to see a continuation of these milder temperatures and somewhat lackluster precipitation, obviously in the western Corn Belt in particular. There is a chance for increased rainfall for next week and slightly warmer temperatures. We'll wait and see what happens when we get a little closer to that period of time. I think some of the computer forecast models are a little bit too aggressive with rainfall, especially in the western Corn Belt. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter September wheat, 625¾, down 5½. Soft September wheat is 534¾, down 3¼. September corn is 365 up to December, 373¾ up to July, $4 up 1¾. August soybeans, 12.20¾, up 8½. September, 11.23, up 9¼. November, 10.93¼, now a half, up 10. August soybean meal, $400.10, up 2¢. August soybean oil, 36.25, up 16¢. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, Dave. How are you?
I am doing well. It caught my eye when I looked at the charts from late last week and then this morning, and I'm particularly looking now at the November composite daily chart for soybeans. It looks like we're building something.
Yeah, we've kind of built a little bit of a base here last few sessions here, both soybeans and soybean meal. Of course, it's helped that we've had some nice announcements here recently about some demand to China. Another big chunk of beans sold to China here this morning, almost 500,000 tons announced this morning. So you look at sales this year compared to last year, which was very good last year. We're actually ahead of pace moving into the fall already. And then you look at soybean meal and, you know, nearly triple ahead of what we were a year ago at this time for fall. So both the nearby meal and soybeans have built a nice little base here the last few sessions. And at least part of that has to do with some increased demand here on some of these cheaper prices, Dave.
Do you look for some short covering that give us a shot to go above last week's highs?
Well, I think we're going to have to play some weather in that, too. I think technically, yeah, we're due for a continued bounce here. We do have some August open interest that needs to kind of go away here, so we'll see how that plays with First Notice Day on Thursday. But, you know, a little drier trend in some parts of the Corn Belt. I don't think anybody's overly concerned quite yet, Dave, but I think it's something to kind of keep an eye on as we approach August on Friday. The market's going to be awful sensitive to any weather changes as we move into the key growing part of the season for soybeans. So, obviously, volatility is probably going to pick up a little bit as we head into this last month of the new or the old marketing year.
And corn, we're making another assault on trying to fill that gap left over from the 21st.
Yeah, you know, we're able to hold the contract low there we set last week on Friday and close a little higher, and we're seeing a little build up off of that here this morning. Obviously, it's no secret that corn's oversold, due for a little bit of a bounce. We've seen a little consolidation here, so prime for a little bit of a recovery, but we're going to need some news to kind of get extended rally going. But in the short term, probably due for a little bit of a few cents recovery here, Dave.
So will futures post a higher high when the week is over?
I think we will. I think we'll see continued recovery here. If we continue to talk a little bit of a drier trend, especially out west, I think that'll help somewhat too, get a little talk of some increased demand. I think we'll see a little bit of a recovery here as we go through the end of the week, Dave.
Thank you very much, Aaron.
Okay, have a good day.
Thanks. Aaron Curtis of MITCO, and he is in Bloomington, Normal, Illinois. Current tick of the charts. September corn is 365 and a half, up 2.5. December, 374 and a quarter, up 2.5. August soybeans, 1222 and a quarter, up 10. November, 1094 and three quarters, up 11 and one quarter. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL, 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana.